Our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Just one verse in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. And the topic this morning is the dead still speak. The dead still speak. And Hebrews 11 verse 4 tells us, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So the title for this morning is really a restatement of the last part of this verse. By it, he being dead, yet speaketh. How we thank the Lord for the believers, for the saints of the past, who has set for us a godly example to follow. Surely we ought not to forget them. Of course, our supreme example is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must follow Him, He who does not change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet the Scriptures tell us that the faith of many who had followed after the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfully, we ought to follow after their steps. For did not the Apostle Paul tell us, be followers of me as I am of Christ? And then in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 to 8, we are told, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It is very good for us to remember. Remembrance is a good virtue. Lest we forget the goodness of the Lord. Lest we forget history, which is God's story, His story. And we must really understand and know history, lest we repeat the mistakes of history. And history has many lessons for us to learn and to study. And great men of the past, great men of God, who had followed the Lord so faithfully, we must observe their good example and then walk in the steps that they had walked, so that we also might have a good report. So remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a wonderful list of all the heroes of the faith in biblical times. And there are, of course, others who have lived for the Lord who are not listed, but the Lord knows them. And there are those who have lived a holy and godly life, a faithful life, a truthful life, even in the days of the church, during the church age, which is right now. And we think of great men like Wycliffe and John Huss, William Tyndale, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and others of the Reformation age. Today, many people forget the Reformation. How we must never forget the great 16th century Protestant Reformation. It is the greatest event of Christianity next to Pentecost, according to church historian Philip Schaff. We must never forget, and I'm thankful that in the Bible Presbyterian Church we remember the Reformation every year on Reformation Day, October 31st. We must remember, lest we forget and fall into sin and into error. And we do not forget those of modern times as well. Men of faith like J. Gresham Machen, who fought the modernists and the liberals who denied the five fundamentals of the Christian faith. and how we thank the Lord for Machen. And we can trace our heritage back to him also. We must always affirm and never deny these fundamentals of the faith. That the Bible is inerrant and infallible, 100% perfect without any mistake. The virgin birth of Christ is another important doctrine. The miracles of Christ, the substitutionary atonement, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never forget these doctrines and the men that upheld and defended these doctrines. For without these doctrines, we will have no life. Our faith will be in vain. But how we thank the Lord that Jesus does not change, and his word also does not change. So we remember such great men as Machen, who fought the modernists and the liberals. And also MacIntyre, a disciple of Machen, and the father of the Bible Presbyterian faith in the United States. And of course, we can trace our roots back to him also, Dr. Carl MacIntyre. And we do not forget Dr. John Sung, whom the Lord used mightily in the 1930s, in the Asian Awakening, and how he came to Singapore, and there was a mighty revival in those days. Many were converted, and backsliding Christians, repenting of their sins, and become very fervent and zealous for the Lord. And not only in Singapore, he preached in China and in Southeast Asia. Until today, the fruits of his ministry remain. It is God's good work in our midst. How can we forget all these people and such wonderful events in times past? And of course, we cannot and will not forget our beloved founding pastor, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, who has just been called home to be with the Lord. Please know that it is not only those who perform great exploits for the Lord who will be remembered and commended. Please don't think that you need to be a great pastor or theologian to be in the forefront, to be seen of men in order to be recognized or to be remembered by the Lord. Please know that we who have served the Lord most lovingly and faithfully, in little matters, you may not have been seen by men. You may just be an usher in the church, or you may be a treasurer, or someone who keeps the place clean, prepare the sanctuary for worship, prepare the book table or the reception table outside, or serve, you know, the refreshments later on. Whatever you do it because the love of Christ constrains you, and you serve out of a pure and a sincere heart to the Lord. You may not be seen by men. Men may not come and thank you for what you have done, but God knows, God sees, and God remembers. And you will be equally rewarded by the Lord in heaven. And that is important, not the praise of men, but the praise of God. And if we are truly faithful to the Lord will remember and commend us for sure. And he will cause even future generations to remember and commend us as well. For consider the example of Mary, Mary of Bethany. Do you remember her? Mary of Bethany, who had a sister by the name of Martha and brother Lazarus. Mary of Bethany loved the Lord very much. And there was one point in time when she broke a very expensive bottle or box of perfume and anointed the Lord Jesus, anointed his head and his feet, and wiped, you know, his feet with her hair. And you can read this in all the Gospels, in Matthew 26, 6 to 14, and Mark 14, 3 to 9, and John 12, 2 to 8. It was an act of faith and love. And for this very wonderful act, loving act on her part, what did Jesus say? Now, she was not an apostle of Jesus Christ. She was not someone prominent in the church. just an ordinary believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, doing a very simple act. And what did the Lord Jesus say of her? Jesus said this in Matthew 26, verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. God remembers her. And God caused her to be remembered by all succeeding generations of believers, that we might see her good example and follow her good example as well, to serve the Lord in a simple, humble, faithful way, and we will be commended by the Lord. Another example will be Abel. Abel was a simple believer who had simple faith. He simply believed what God said. And in simple faith, believing that the way to be accepted by God, the way to heaven, the way to salvation is through a blood offering. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you know that man had fallen into sin. Adam and Eve sinned against God. But God, by His grace and by His love, preached the gospel to them in Genesis 3:15. And how a virgin-born Son of God will come and will be crucified. The seed of the woman who will bear the sins of the world by being nailed to the cross, His heel will be bruised. There will be a shedding of blood. And it is by the shedding of blood that we are saved. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to come. And Adam and Eve, the parents of Cain and Abel, told their sons how they can be accepted by God and how they can be saved. They preached the gospel to them. And Abel, by simple faith, believed what the Word of God says, and then offered to the Lord a blood sacrifice. And the Lord was well pleased. Cain, on the other hand, think a mighty lot of himself. And he was a tiller of the ground. If I give God all the best that I've cultivated, surely God will accept me. All the good works that I've done. But that's not the way. God says it's only by the way of the cross, by way of blood. Not your work, but my work for you. And you trust in what the Son of God will do for you in the future. Looking ahead by faith, believing you'll be saved. Well, Abel had that faith, and he was remembered and he was commended. Cain, of course, was rejected. And because of his faith, well, Abel was one of the heroes of faith listed in Hebrews 11. God remembered him. Well, do you wish to be remembered? Do you wish your name to be found in the Holy Scriptures? Well, some of us may desire to have our names found in the Scriptures for some, you know, good act of faith. But it's impossible now, because the canon is closed. The Scripture is already complete. But it doesn't matter if our name is not found in the Holy Scriptures, because there are other names found in the Scriptures too. False brethren and false teachers and false believers. Men like Balaam, the false prophet, who prophesied for money. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord. It's not so important for our names to be found in Scriptures. It is more important, in fact, it is most important that our names be found in this one book, which is the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That is more important. And of course, our names can only be written in the Lamb's Book of Life if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. And the powerful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all our sins. And Jesus will write our name in his book of life, written in blood, and that cannot be washed away, cannot be erased. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you will of course enjoy eternal blessing and bliss in heaven. But if your name is not found in this book, you will suffer eternal damnation, the second death, which is the lake of fire. Are you sure of your salvation? Are you sure you're born again, you're saved? Are you sure your name is found in the registry in the Lamb's book of life? If you're not sure, please make sure. Make sure today. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8:36. And I believe our beloved founding pastor understood this very well. The dead still speak. The Lord has taken him home, but his life story still remained, and we can learn many precious lessons from him. Remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Our beloved pastor was top boy of the Anglo-Chinese school, ACS, in 1937, and won the Xiao Po Ling Medal. If you go to ACS and you look at the plaque of all the top boys, well, his name is still etched in that plaque. And many of those who have distinguished themselves in ACS, top boy of ACS, have become prominent professionals in Singapore. And our beloved pastor in those days was also very determined to become famous and rich. There was this ambition he had in his heart. And of course, this ambition was not what God wanted him to have. It was a selfish ambition to become rich and famous. And God had other plans for him. And you know how his mother, who was a very godly and devout Christian, had prayed for him. And he was given over to the Lord, given to the Lord, to be a pastor. But he rejected this route and wanted another way to become somebody in the world. And you can read all about this in his autobiography, Son of a Mother's Vow. And how he was determined to go to London in 1946 to study law and to make it in the world, to be someone great. But the Lord turned him around. And we can never run away from God's plan in our lives. And how the Lord chastised him. In a matter of weeks, his mother died suddenly. And then later on, a baby daughter whom he loved very much. And then he was humbled to the dust. And in his autobiography, he wrote, he testified, "All the glories of fame and power that I was seeking after became a smoldering rubbish heap to a dying man. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8:36. "Then began I to pray with fainting and trembling lips, Lord, save my soul. If you will give me back my life," because he felt he was dying, "if you will give me back my life, I will serve you forever. Amen." And yes, he being dead yet speaketh. And Timothy Toe had to die to self before he can live and speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Timothy Toe died to himself that day. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And he denied himself, took up his cross and followed the Lord Jesus. We must do likewise if we want to be a worthy follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want the Lord to use us. And what a most fruitful life he lived for the Lord all these years. And although our beloved founding pastor has died, he still speaks to us through our memories of him. I remember when I was in the Far Eastern Bible College in my very first semester there, and there was a course that he taught, which was Old Testament history, a compulsory course, so I had to take that subject. And he was a very good teacher. All of you know that. He was a good teacher. He can make very complex doctrines very simple to understand. He was a good teacher, but I was a poor student. I did not pay enough attention to details. Now, in the study of history, details are important. And he stressed a whole lot on details. But I didn't pay attention, so, you know, at the end, I only managed to score a C. Very miserable grade. I felt very miserable. But I will not forget the lesson I learned from him. Our beloved pastor was a very precise man. He paid attention to details. And you can see that in his weeklies, right, in his books, in his writings. And how we thank God for all the weeklies and the books and the magazines that he wrote, chronicling the history of the Bible Presbyterian Church and of the Far Eastern Bible College from its founding even until today. And if FEBC is going to be saved, I believe it's going to be saved through the historical evidence that is found in his writings. And by God's providence, when he wrote for posterity, for the future generations, that they might not forget, that they might pay attention to history. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And I learned this important lesson from him in Old Testament history. Pay attention to details. I remember him when he taught OT history, and he was talking about the providence of God. How our God is a very hands-on God. He is not so distant, so far away that he doesn't care what happens in this world or in our lives. He's a very hands-on God. And he's ordering the events of the world. And even till today, he can perform miracles. We believe that, according to his goodwill and pleasure. And in trying to expound on the providence of God, the special providence of God, he illustrated with an example from history. And that was in World War II. In World War II, you know, the Americans were going to bomb two cities in Japan, dropping the atomic bomb. And one of those cities was Kokura. But when the bomber was flying over the city and trying to locate the target, there was a mysterious cloud that covered the city so that, you know, the bombers could not locate or zero into the target, could not see. And so they could not drop the bomb. And they were circling for a long time, and the cloud remained there, this mysterious cloud. And so they had to go to their secondary target, which was Nagasaki. And the bomb was dropped there. And the other one was dropped on Hiroshima. And later on it was discovered that in Kokura, there were the American POWs who were there. And just a week earlier, they had been transported, all right, and imprisoned in that city. So the Lord knows those who belong to him. And probably among the American POWs, there were those who were Christians, who were believers, maybe praying to the Lord for deliverance. And the Lord delivered them. A mysterious cloud on a bright sunny day inexplicable. Surely this is the providence of God. The Lord intervened to save His people. You know, I only paid attention to the doctrines He taught. I didn't pay attention to the illustrations He gave. Exam time. Which was the city that was spared? Name it. That's why I got a C. I didn't know the answer. I forgot. Now I don't forget. Yes, indeed. We must remember history. And our pastor has always taught us to remember that. Even the history that is found in the scriptures, infallible, inerrant, without any mistake. So can the God of providence protect and preserve the FEBC today? You know, when I think of what Reverend Toh had taught and how our God is a God of providence, my heart is very encouraged and comforted. The dead still speak through their words, whether written or spoken. Our beloved founding pastor still speaks today through his books and through his sermons. Now, he had written over 40 books and many more tracts and articles. And the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh will never be removed from the faculty of the Far Eastern Bible College. He remains as a faculty member, our founding principal, because he continues to teach us through his books. And we'll continue to use his books for our teaching, for required reading, for all our students who will come in the future, and even students right now. And our pastor, who was the principal of FEBC, had written books dealing with all four major departments of Christian education or theological education. He had written on biblical studies. He had written on systematic theology. He had written on church history. He had written on pastoral ministry. Really a well-rounded education you will receive if you read our pastor's books. And I must say that his books reflect not only his life, but also his deep thinking and meditation on God's Word. Now, firstly, our late founding pastor was a Bible expositor. And he had written commentaries on both the Old Testament as well as New Testament books. And his most significant, in my opinion, are his books on the end times, when he commented on the prophecies of Daniel and of Revelation. Now, these two books that I would urge you to read, especially in these last days, his commentary on the book of Daniel, Visions of the Princely Prophet, and then a companion volume, his commentary on the book of Revelation, Coming World Events Unveiled. And he has succeeded in making complex prophecies so simple to digest and to understand, so systematic that you will see the order of events in history and the order of events in the future, what must take place and what will take place in this world at the end times according to the scriptures. So please read these books. And not only that, he had written on books that comfort the heart, from the Psalms. And he tells our students that the Psalms are a balm to our soul. So if your heart is hurting, what do? You need counsel from the Lord. Don't go to a psychologist or psychiatrist. You go to the one who has created you, who knows you inside and out, who knows the soul, for he created the soul. And he knows how to minister to your emotional needs and spiritual needs. You read the Psalms. Open the Psalm. And wherever it is open, you read it. You read until the end. And then you go back to the beginning. Begin with Psalm 1 and you read through again. You find how much healing from the Lord you will receive by reading the Psalms. And he has written a commentary on the Psalms as well, Meditation from the Psalms. I'm sure you have, and that was the last book he had written, and you might want to get a hold of it. I'm sure you have one. Well, read it and learn from it. Our beloved founding pastor was also a theologian par excellence. You know, in his study and teaching on biblical prophecies, he coined the term prophetscope. Just like you have a telescope, you also have a prophetscope. Now, this term you cannot find in a dictionary, or you cannot find in any other theological book. It was a term that was coined by him, a most meaningful and significant term. How to understand the prophecies of the Bible. You know, it's not easy to understand all the prophecies of the Bible, especially when you want to study them together from a bird's eye perspective, and which prophecy refers to which time period. And sometimes when students and even scholars, they don't see things from a bird's eye view. They are unable to harmonize the prophecies in the Bible, and it becomes very confusing. But if you apply, you know, the principle of the prophetscope, I have no time to elaborate. If you want to know what's the prophetscope, you have to come to FEBC to learn or read our pastor's books. Now we see the unity through the prophetscope. We see the unity and the harmony of biblical prophecies, and becomes so clear, so easy to understand and appreciate how our God is a God of order, and how he has ordered the events of the past, of the present, and of the future. And we are not children of darkness, we are children of light, and we can understand all these things in the scriptures. And so he has meditated on the word of God very deeply and coined this term, prophetscope, copyrighted, right? And he is the one who had coined this term and taught this rule of Bible interpretation, the prophetscope. And he had written a book on the prophetscope on Israel. Read that book. And then also in theology, he had written a most timely tome in the Law of Moses and of Jesus, which was his master's thesis at Faith Theological Seminary, which is an excellent refutation of the dispensational view of the law. The dispensationalists say the Ten Commandments are no longer valid today. They have been abrogated. We don't need to follow them. We just go by the Spirit. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. For Jesus himself in the Gospels quoted the Old Testament law. Even the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. The Ten Commandments reflect the holiness of God, and it is still valid today. We must keep the Ten Commandments today. And how, by using both Old Testament and New Testament, he was able to dispel and refute this wrong view of the Holy Scriptures, which says the law has been abrogated. So I would urge you to read his book, The Law of Moses and of Jesus, this volume here. Not easy reading, difficult reading, but if you can read it slowly and carefully, the Lord will give you understanding and it will help you in understanding the scriptures. And he has also abridged Calvin's Institutes. He knew Calvin and Calvin's theology inside and out, and he made a very good statement. When we, you know, read and study Calvin, we're not following a man, because Calvin actually followed the Apostle Paul. And he said, Calvinism is Paulinism systematized. Calvin just systematized what the Apostle Paul had taught in all his epistles, the great doctrines of salvation. And with this good understanding of divine sovereignty and human responsibility, he penned a most useful book called The Clock of the Sevenfold Will of God. Again, you don't find such doctrines been taught in other schools. It's something that he came out on his own through a meditation of God's word, the Lord giving him the wisdom. So the Jesus Saves clock of the sevenfold will of God. You know, it's not easy to understand God's will. There are so many aspects of God's will. And sometimes we may get confused when we read about the will of God in the scriptures. How to know God's will? How to discern God's will? The scriptures do not contradict, and God does not contradict himself. There are times in the scriptures that there appears to be a contradiction. It's only apparent, an apparent contradiction. There's no contradiction in the Bible. The fault lies in us for not understanding the scriptures deeply. And our pastor had written this book to teach clearly what the Bible teaches concerning God's will and the many aspects of God's will, a sevenfold sovereign will of God, this book. And then he has a very practical volume, a booklet, all right, applying the sevenfold will of God in this book. Has God a plan for your life? Have you read this book? You want to know what's God's plan for your life? Read this book. All right. And finally, insofar as theology is concerned, I was privileged to co-author and co-edit with him a systematic theology textbook, Made Simple, Theology for Every Christian, which is in part an abridgment of Buswell's theology. Dr. J. Oliver Buswell was Reverend Toh's teacher when he studied at Faith. And when I was a student, he used Buswell's theology to teach us. But if you have ever read Buswell's theology, it is hard going, all right? Because Buswell's systematic theology was not really very systematic. A lot of good stuff. But there were also parts which were not correct. And I'm thankful that he taught, and he taught in such a way that we all could understand. And it was in his heart always to make theology simple and abridge Buswell, reorganize it, revise it, make it readable and understandable. And finally, this was done by God's grace. So our systematic theology was an abridgment of Buswell, as well as a revision of Buswell, adding many of our own personal insights and expositions on the Bible Presbyterian faith, Bible Presbyterian theology, which is the Reformed and premillennial faith. Our beloved founding pastor was also a church historian. Now, he is the authority of the history of the BP Church and movement in Singapore, Malaysia, and Southeast Asia. And Bible Presbyterianism was his life. He was the Lord's anointed for sure. The Lord specially appointed him for this purpose. And may history do him justice. And you would want to read his autobiography, Son of a Mother's Vow, and his recounting of the history of the BP Church in his book, The Singapore BP Church Story. And when you read all these historical accounts of his life as well as the life of the church, you will see his humility. It's not, I did it. But you will see this ringing true all the time. God did it. Not I did it. But God did it. And his most significant contribution in Asian church history would be his books on John Sung and the Asian revival and awakening in those days. So I would urge you, these two are very precious volumes on Asian church history, and any serious researcher on Asian church history must, right, refer to these books if they want to know about John Sung and the Asian awakening in the 1930s. John Sung, my teacher, for he was converted under John Sung, and the Asian awakening, which has an excellent review by Dr. Peter Masters of London, Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And finally, our late founding pastor was a good pastor. You have gone through his ministry. And he did not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. and he earnestly contended for the faith. He didn't care for his popularity. He only cared for the approval of God. Lord, do you approve of my ministry? It's not much, not so much, or not at all, whether I have a great following or not, whether I'll be popular, you know, amongst men. He always had in his heart and his mind the approval of God. I must please God rather than man. And so he fed us with the whole counsel of God, and he earnestly contended for the faith as well. And he fed his flock with the pure milk and the solid meat of God's word. And he was not afraid to warn of the dangers of the world and in Christendom today. The Bible warns us of a falling away from the faith, apostasy in the last days, a lot of compromise. People will betray the Lord and the faith, and how we must guard ourselves and watch ourselves that we may not fall into error and a sin. And he warned and protected God's flock. He was not a hireling who ran away. He was a true shepherd indeed who fed God's flock most faithfully and fervently. And he taught us, his students at the college, how we ought to preach and teach God's word faithfully and effectively. And so he was our homiletics lecturer. Homiletics means the art of preaching. He taught us how to preach, and he has a book written, and he calls his homiletics class period my homiletics swimming pool. So all of us must jump in, learn how to swim, and then he will be there to instruct and to point out how we may improve in our preaching, in our preaching ministry. So he gave wise counsel to those who had problems, who struggle in their life, who wanted to know God's mind and wisdom. And so in all the years of his counseling, he wrote down his experiences and what the Bible teaches about counseling in his book Counseling Recipes Through 40 Years Pastoring, a gem of information inside. You want to be a biblical counselor? You know, today in a lot of colleges and seminaries, when they teach so-called Christian counseling, is far from being Christian. They may use Christian terminology, but all the ideas that they get are all from the world, from Freud, who has been exposed as a fraud by our Straits Times, you know, a number of years ago. But when we want to counsel, we counsel from the Bible and from the Bible alone. And he has all these recipes through his many experiences to direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word. Counseling recipes. He speaks through his books today. He counsels us through his books today. And then another book. Our pastor was also a church planter and missionary. And he has written a book on church planting and church growth. You want to learn missions? He told us many schools now teach about missions and evangelism. And how do they teach? It's very theoretical. They just, like sowing seeds on the concrete ground. But he has many practical experiences how to plant a church and how to grow a church. 40 years to church growth. You want to know how to plant a church and grow a church, you can learn from him in this book. And then Pattern for Church Growth and Missions is another book, which is his commentary on the book of Acts. And he says the book of Acts is an infallible pattern for missions, evangelism, and church growth. Again, directing us back to the scriptures. So he, being dead yet speaketh, he speaketh through all his books, all his sermons, and through our memories of him. I'm sure, you know, I can go on and say much more. And you also have your own encounters with him. You have your story to tell also. And may you remember him. Remember those who have the rule over you, who have taught you, spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. I believe our beloved founding pastor was such a man, such a servant of God. And when we think of him, of course, don't forget the Lord. We praise the Lord for raising up such men. And really, all glory should go to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And may God show us his grace and show us his favor, that in our life, we may make our life count for him. In these very trying times, our faith will be tested, dear friends. Will you compromise or not? Or will you be faithful unto the very end, just like our beloved pastor? He never retired from ministry. He served until his dying moment. And you know that even on Easter Sunday morning, although he was weak physically, yet he baptized 6 new members in the church. He served as a pastor till the last moment. And may the Lord help us to do this also. In the ministry of the Lord, in serving the Lord, there is no retirement. We serve the Lord until the very end. He being dead, yet speaketh. The books that I've brought to your attention are all available at the book table outside. And for today, it will be sold at half price. You don't have those books, get a hold of them. A wonderful Bible resource for you in your effort to know the Lord and to serve him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and praise thee for all the men of faith in times past. We see thy grace in their lives. You have helped them. You have empowered them. You have used them. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art pleased to use weak and frail creatures like us to do thy mighty work. How we need to depend on you every day of our lives. And ultimately, we want to glorify thy name and to enjoy thee forever. So help us, Lord, to reconsecrate ourselves, to be faithful unto thee, even in these last days. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.